Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
I just want to share some things that the wise men teach us about giving gifts, all right? So are you ready? You buckled up? Ready to go? Here's the first thing the wise men teach us about giving gifts. We should give an unexpected gift to someone. Give an unexpected gift to someone. When the wise men showed up at the house, one, possibly 2 years later, sometime after the nativity had happened, after the manger and the shepherds and the glory to God and the highest angel visitation, after all that, there's a knock at the door. Boom, boom, boom. Mary goes, and here's these guys that are all dressed up in this elegant clothes, and they're so excited to be there. And she's going, what in the world's going on? Imagine her surprise. This was completely unexpected. First of all, they were foreigners. They weren't Jews, so they're not looking for the King of the Jews. This happened at a time when they did not expect it, and this unexpected gift meant so very, very much to them. When Rebecca and I first started in ministry, we were youth pastors, and we spent 4 years at a church in Salt Lake City. It was a fantastic time. We felt near the end of that time as youth pastors that God was calling us to be senior pastors, and so we resigned our position without having a position. And the reason I did that is I knew that God had said, Craig, you're done at the end of summer. Now, I had started looking the October before. I really thought that I was going to have a position. But I just knew that if we, you know, that I was done at the next August, and we kept doing missions trips and discipling the kids and doing a bunch of different things. End of summer comes up. We don't have a position, so we move into my wife's parents' basement, and all of our belongings move into my parents' basement, okay? And so that's where we were, and it was a frustrating time because we were looking for a position and nothing opened up. And I went to work first as a custodian at a community center, and then they were having budget cuts, so they cut me back, so I needed something else. So I went to work at a factory, and things were tight financially. It was difficult emotionally and spiritually. I'm going, God, did I miss you? God, why aren't you speaking? God, why aren't you opening a door? It was a very discouraging time. And one Sunday morning, we were attending my wife's father's church. He's a pastor. And one Sunday after church, a gentleman named Ari Bleek came up to me and handed me an envelope. Now, I had known Ari, just talked to him, but I really didn't know him. He didn't know me. And Rebecca, her dad, went to that church when she was in college, so it's not like she grew up in the church and really knew Ari. He really didn't know us. And I get this envelope, and I open it up, and it's a $100 bill. And I can't tell you how much that meant. Even today, I get choked up about it. It was like God saying, I see you, I know your needs, and I care about you. It was a completely unexpected gift, but boy, did it make a difference. And I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you this year. Let God show you someone who maybe has a financial need, or maybe it's just more for us, it was a spiritual need. It was an emotional need. It was a tough time, and God says, I want you to give them something. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's an act of service. I don't know what it is, but is there somebody God would say, give an unexpected gift to? Give an unexpected gift to someone in need. There's another type of person that we can give an unexpected gift to, and maybe it's somebody who has done something for you a long, long time ago. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a professor, maybe it's a former employer, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a mentor, and they have done something for you, but it was years and years ago. And maybe now God wants you to say, hey, I want you to do something for them. Maybe it's giving them a call, writing them a card. one of my professors in college, I was getting ready. He's nearing the end of his life. But he's been such a great influence in my life. I felt like God saying this week, you need to contact Brother Jones. You need to contact him and just tell him just what God has done in you and how he has been an essential part of that. I encourage you to let God maybe speak to you. In fact, in your notes, there is a place in your notes this morning to put down someone to give an unexpected gift to. Maybe it's someone in need. Maybe it's someone who has done something for you a long time ago. But if God's given you a name, write that down right now. Just write it down right now. So that's the first thing the wise men teach us about giving gifts is give an unexpected gift. Secondly, this morning, the wise men teach us that we need to give with genuine joy. We need to give with genuine joy. When the wise men gave this gift, they were happy to do so. They rejoiced when they saw the star. They rejoiced when they found the house. And I can just imagine, it would have been fun to have been a fly on the wall as they're knocking on the door. Think of this. They have traveled hundreds of miles, possibly for 2 years. And the joy, they're there, and I can just see them, how excited they were, these presents they had, they were just like burning. They couldn't wait to give them. I don't know about you, but sometimes I buy gifts for my family, and it's like, man, I wish I didn't have to wait to Christmas for them to open it. I wish they could open it right now. I want them to see it right now. Can you imagine having a gift for 2 years? They were giving with joy. And there are some times when we give, we kind of give grudgingly. Man, I got to do this. It's the name exchange, so I'm going to write it out. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Friends, we need to give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Robert Foster writes in one of his books, giving with a glad and generous heart has a way of rooting out the tough old miser within us. Even the poor need to know that they can give. Just the very act of letting go of money or some other treasure does something within us. That something is it destroys the demon greed. Isn't that true? When we give, it destroys the greed in us. I heard one guy pray one time and he said, God, I will give anything that you can pry my fingers from. It's kind of a poor prayer. I mean, but you know, sometimes it's a good prayer because if you find you're hanging on to stuff too tightly, so tightly that when you let go of your hands, you've got fingernail marks in because you've been, I'm holding on to that. I'm not giving that away. God wants us to give with joy, to give willingly, not grudgingly. I want you just to evaluate your spirit of generosity this holiday season. Maybe it's been tough because of COVID. And maybe finances are strained and you're going, I wish I didn't have to give these presents. You know what? That's just going to steal the meaning and the blessing to someone else. Give with joy. Ask God to refocus your heart, to change how I feel, and realize that God is your source. Not your paycheck, not the government stimulus, not your job, but God is your source so you and I can give with joy. Give with joy. That's the second thing that the wise men teach us. The third thing the wise men teach us is to give something that will last. Give something that will last. The gift that the wise men gave that year, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, do you realize that that story has been told for the past 2,000 years? We're still hearing about it. That's a gift that has lasted. And we need to give gifts that will last. What are some gifts that we can give? I want to give you a couple of them. Gifts that last. Letter A, the gift of good memories. Okay, gifts that last can't be broken, they can't be lost, and the gift of good memories is something that we need to be giving. This Christmas, make sure you create some memories with family and friends. Create memories with your kids. Create memories with your spouse. You don't know how much time you have here left on the planet. This summer when Rebecca's parents came out, we traveled to Saratoga to visit some friends of theirs who had moved to Saratoga to retire. They were building a log cabin, and we spent the day with them. We went up through the snowy range, went hiking on some trails. It was a fun day. We made memories. This last week, we got a phone call from her parents saying that the husband and wife, they were out for a walk, and the wife just fell over dead. She was gone immediately, just like that. We don't know how much time we have left here on the planet. We need to be making memories. If you find yourself, you're working so much that you don't have time for your family, you need to change things up. This needs to be a wake-up call for you. What are you going to do? Go sledding. Go shopping. Go somewhere. Take a day trip to Denver. Do something fun. Get a model and build a model. Get a puzzle and play a puzzle. Put a puzzle together over Christmas. Make memories. It doesn't have to be expensive and big, but make memories. Do a family night. Make it regular. It is so easy to go through life and say, well, someday I'll do this. Someday when I get that promotion and I don't have to work so hard, then I'm going to spend time with my family. Someday when I retire, then I'll take time for my husband or my wife or my kids or my grandkids. Friends, don't wait. Don't wait, because you don't know how long you have. Make good memories. That's the first kind of lasting gift that we can give. The second kind is the gift of a godly heritage. This Father's Day, I received my Father's Day gift in the mail from my daughter who lives in Texas with our twin grandsons, and she made this little plaque. It says, following in Saba's footprints. Now, Saba is Hebrew for grandpa, okay? That's my grandpa name. I didn't go with Papa. I haven't been fond of Papa. But so I'm Saba, and you think of Saba, Abba, Father, God. So it's God, and then you put an S in front of it, like Superman, so it's Super Dad. I mean, I thought that was a really great description, so, all right? But it says, following in Saba's footprints, happy Father's Day, Devin and Curtis, we love you, 8 months old. And it was like, oh man, that's awesome. And it's in my office. If you come out of my office, you walk in the door, you'll see it on a shelf just on the left there. But then my daughter also sent me a card. Probably won't make it through this without crying. It says, Dad, when I was younger, I didn't always understand just how blessed I was to have a dad like you. You've led me and loved me in all the ways that matter most, and this has given me a wonderful foundation for life. I can't thank you enough for this gift, Dad. I may have not said it growing up, but thanks for all you have invested in me, your time, your prayers, and love. Thanking God for you this Father's Day. Then she wrote in it, I love you, Daddy. Thank you for teaching me all lessons in life, even those that I didn't know I needed or wanted. Thank you for all the late nights helping me with homework and projects. Thank you for loving our family and me unconditionally. Thank you for showing me what it looks like to stand for God's truth with unwavering integrity and courage. Thank you for modeling a parent who seeks after God's heart. I remember all those early mornings I would wake up and you would be in your chair studying the Bible or on your knees praying. Those are the best blessings you could ever pass down to me and your grandsons. I love you, miss you. Happy Father's Day, Aaron. You know, the gift of a godly heritage, you can't put a price tag on it. You can't put a price tag on it. What are you building with your life? Is your life about building a career, building a bank account? Or is it about building the kingdom of God in your heart and in the hearts of your individual kids? We need to be parents, grandparents that are modeling that our kids see us praying and reading the Bible. We just don't tell them to do it, but they see us doing it. We need to be parents that take time for devotions and have a family altar and we pray together and we ask, how are your needs? How can I pray for you? And we show them that in every circumstance, they can depend upon God. When it's crunch time in college finals, they can make it and they can call out to God and he's there. And just from cradle to college, being a consistent role model, being a consistent mentor, a consistent teacher, we need to be giving our kids a godly heritage because that is a gift that will last. I have one last thing I want to say about giving gifts as I wrap this up today, and I don't get this from the wise men, but I just give it from practicality. And number four in your notes is give that gift now. Give that gift now. Don't wait for someday. Give it now. Samuel Johnson said, "He who waits to do a great deed of good all at once will never do anything." He'll never do anything. I want to wrap things up with another poem. It says, "They were going to be all they wanted to be tomorrow. None would be braver or kinder than they tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and wearied, they knew, would be glad for a lift and needed it too, and on him they would call and see what they could do tomorrow. Each morning, they would stack up letters they would write tomorrow, and thought of the folks that they would fill with delight tomorrow. The greatest of people they just might have been, the world would have opened its heart up to them, but in fact they passed on and faded from view, and all they had left when their living was through was a mountain of things they intended to do tomorrow." Don't wait for tomorrow. Give your gifts now. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your Son Jesus, who is readily available to us right now at this moment. Father God, I pray that you would help us to do things now. Things that you've been speaking to us. Things that we've maybe been putting off for years, or maybe things you've just spoken about to us during this service, during this message. Help us to purpose in our heart to do them now. Not to wait, but to begin to be active and to be the gift givers, the grace givers. This morning, if you're here or you're watching online, what is God saying to you about what you need to give now, about what you need to do now? I don't want you to delay. Maybe God is speaking to you about a strained relationship. You're not getting together for Christmas by decision because of something that's happened in the past, and you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe they started it. It doesn't matter. You need to extend the olive branch first. You need to try to make amends. If God is speaking to you about forgiving someone, about healing a relationship, about resolving conflict, I challenge you, do it. Make the call today. Don't let the week get by. Don't get till next Sunday without making that move. Maybe God's speaking to you about planning some good memories this Christmas season, or doing a gift of service to someone who has helped you in the past or someone who needs something now. If God is speaking to you about something he wants you to do now, I just want you to raise your hand. You'd say, "Hey, that's me. God's been speaking to my heart. There's things I need to do." Just put your hand up and you put it back down. That's awesome. I want you to do something now. If you raised your hand, get your notes, and I want you to write that down, okay? Write it down right now. Write down what God wants you to do so you don't forget it. If you're watching us at home and God's spoken to you about doing something, get a paper and pencil, get your phone out, set an alarm on your phone, and just say, I got to make that phone call to Aunt so-and-so or to Jim or whoever it is. Just write it down. Make sure you purpose in your heart. You can do something so you don't forget to do what God is speaking to you to do. You know, earlier we talked about grace gifts, and the greatest grace gift of all, where we get the concept of a grace gift, is from God Himself. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, that for by grace you have been saved from your sins through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There is nothing that you and I can do to earn our way to heaven, to be saved from our sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and all of us are sinners. All of us have done things wrong. And so many people, I know growing up, I was taught that if I do enough good things, if I go to church and get baptized and take communion and give the charity and help people out and do my best, hopefully my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds and I'll get to heaven. But the Bible says it's by grace, not of works. It is a gift. The gifts you've given this year, your kids didn't have to work for them. Even if they were really bad, you still gave them gifts. And a gift is not worked for, a gift is received. You and I need to receive God's gift of grace. We do that by confessing that we are sinners, that Jesus died on the cross, that Jesus was born in a manger, He lived a sinless life, and then He died on the cross for our sins. We confess our sins, and then we surrender the leadership of our life to Christ. We let Him be our King. Just as the wise men came searching for a king, you know, there's an old saying, wise men still seek Him. And maybe you're here this morning and you realize you don't seek Him. You seek your own ways. Maybe you're watching online and you realize today that you don't seek God. You seek your own agenda. You put yourself first. God wants us to confess our selfishness, our sin. He wants us to confess Him as Lord, make Him the leader of our life. And if you're here this morning or watching, I want you just to raise your hand if you'd say, Craig, I need God's gift of salvation. I realize Jesus died for my sin, and I need to receive His forgiveness and His leadership. If that's you, I want you just to raise your hand. Just put your hand up high. If you're watching on TV, just put your hand up this morning. It's a moment between you and God. How many here would say, I need God to forgive me? I need to receive that gift. I'm going to say a prayer today, and I would like each of us to repeat this prayer and take the parts of it that apply to your life. Let's pray today. Dear Jesus, forgive me for seeking my own ways. I have sinned. I turn from my selfishness. I will seek You. I will surrender to Your leadership. You died for my sin. Help me live for You. Help me love You now. Help me love others now. Help me to give now, to forgive now, to care now, to call now, to help now. Thank You, Jesus, for everything You've done for me. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.